we are back with Vindanity.
Woohoo!
What are we going with? Once every 2-3 months here? That kind of the schedule right now?
Yeah, once a quarter.
Once a quarter. As always, there's a lot to catch up on, different things going on. We're not going to get to all of it, I'm sure. But, I think we got to take this opportunity here, kind of as we structure the show, figure out what we're going to discuss. Vince, you have literally just returned from the mountaintop. In Colorado.
I have been to the mountaintop!
Hallelujah!
And I imagine you, in your travels up, you gained a little wisdom, a little bit of perspective.
A little weight.
As you in the thin air, you gain weight. All right.
Colorado, hey.
That's how it goes in Colorado. But, as you return down now to us mere mortals, what have you learned about the Minnesota sports scene? What should we be discussing today? Can you offer your Colorado perspective to us?
My perspective of we don't have any mountains here.
Was anyone in Colorado talking about the Vikings draft?
Well, interestingly...
Were they talking about Case Keenum?
There was a lot of... There's so many...
That would have made more sense.
Oh, yeah. No, Case Keenum was a discussion point for sure, so... So there's a ton of Minnesota transplants out there, which is, basically everybody we know from Stillwater has, a brother
friend
out there. Yeah, dude.
Moved out there a couple years ago.
So, there was some excitement around Keenum, I think, from the people I talked to were... feel like they got a good, solid quarterback out of that deal.
So. And now, who was the quarterback of Denver last year?
Current Vikings backup, Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, he is not well-liked out there.
Okay.
So.
That's an upgrade. I would be jacked about that,
a little bit
too.
Of Brock Osweiler, I think. Paxton Lynch. It hasn't been very good
sure.
the past couple of years.
They've had, that's been a revolving door. I would be jacked, too, if I was them.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think Keenum's a definite upgrade over any of those guys. They all kind of suck. So,
we haven't done a podcast in 3 months. Maybe not too much time on the Broncos. Is Keenum going to have anyone to throw to?
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. They're getting a little bit older, but
they're an aging receiver core, but still solid.
It's basically the same group, a lot of the same players. I guess they let some defensive players go, but it's a lot of the same players from that Peyton Manning team, just they didn't have Peyton Manning.
Just aged a wee bit?
And they didn't have Wade Phillips.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I wonder how he did in the thin air. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, now he's on the beaches of L.A., so he's...
I love L.A.
He's a nationwide traveler. Were you just, walking up to random people then and just being like, take care of my boy, Case!
The miracle!
I got a little emotional just a few times.
Did you see any...
He's my quarterback!
Did you see any Keenum Broncos jerseys?
No, I actually didn't. Yeah, I think it's...
I guess, we were at that one Broncos game, and I guess I just don't really remember. I'm sure people were wearing Broncos jerseys, but, they were those orange ones.
Yeah.
Do people just buy the white ones or the old-school dark blues? It just would feel like there's not a lot of occasions to walk around in a bright orange jersey.
But I think that's the excuse. It's like, how often do you get to wear bright orange?
Yeah, pretty much road construction.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's your one opportunity to be super visible.
But everyone was wearing jackets too. That's true. I don't really recall a lot of just jerseys.
Yeah,
lots of jackets. Kind of cold in the mountains.
Yeah,
it can get a little chilly in the mountains.
But yeah, no, it was a good time.
Well, I think we last time we did this, it was, even though it was long ago, the Vikings had made the Kirk Cousins move, so I think we've already kind of had that discussion. Certainly we felt like Cousins was an upgrade over Keenum, even if Keenum is an upgrade over what the Broncos had. But, I suppose we can start with the Vikings and just, their offseason basically done at this point, now having gone through the draft and the free agency moves that we had kind of talked about already. And I don't know that there's a whole lot to really discuss with the Vikings draft. They had such a low pick. They didn't really draft anyone that figures to be a major contributor on next year's team. But I guess maybe, the one point, I guess, I think there's a fair amount of optimism with their roster, what they can do next year. You never totally know in the NFL. But I think the one area they've gotten criticized a little bit, and the concern people have is still the offensive line and expectation they were maybe going to draft a lineman. They elected not to do that until late in the second round. You feeling okay about their ability to keep the guaranteed money man, Kirk Cousins, upright and healthy this year?
Yeah, I will say, like, I think the draft, I think it was probably the worst managed draft that they've had under Spielman. There were just some, I think what happened is there was a big run on interior offensive linemen, like, early in the second round. And that just, like, really threw them off, and they weren't expecting that. And that's why they didn't, they, you know, decided either not to trade back or do something at the top of the first there with a lineman, and I think that really burned them. So I'm a little bit worried because, you know, I'm not really sure that, I think the tackle they got in the second round has a lot of upside, and he's, but he, you know, it's he's definitely a project. I don't think he's somebody that's going to be, you know, he'll probably get on the field next year.
He sounds like he could have gone to St. Thomas Academy, Brian O'Neill.
Yeah, he pretty much
on the cadet roster.
Yeah, he sounds like he should have been a Chad Abbott coached offensive lineman.
I don't know. I guess I noticed they took criticism locally. I don't think they just really got covered much nationally because it wasn't a particularly interesting draft relative to what other teams were doing. I do wonder though, like, if maybe they just didn't have a real great evaluation on a lot of those interior linemen, and they, you know, Zimmer obviously wants to draft defensive players. It seemed like they just liked that corner, and I guess I see the logic of it. They're probably not going to be able to pay Trey Waynes going forward. I think they've been a little disappointed with Mackenzie Alexander. So it's, you know, probably not a pick that's going to help next year's team, but I suppose, you know, if they are trying to budget and figure out who they're going to pay going forward, it gives them a few more options, or maybe they at least don't have to worry about paying in the secondary.
Yeah, I would say I think the Hughes pick is fine. Like, I think he's like, you know, he definitely is really good. Like, he's a very talented player, and like, just has some crazy instincts too. From, like, apparently he's excelled at picking up three different systems on three different teams in the last 3 years. Now, it's kind of a problem that he's been on three different teams in
the
last
issues
that 3 years.
North Carolina aren't the greatest, yeah.
Yeah, there's some shades of Chris Cook with him a little bit, but, you know, I think overall the organization is probably much better set up now to handle those type of things than they were back then. But, so yeah, I think he's, I'm okay with the pick. And then the rest of them, it's pretty forgettable draft, I think. But they, like, not like horrible picks, but just not what, no.
Well, we were all
nothing to get excited about.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know a lot about various college guards. That's not my my primary of expertise.
To bring in Robert Mays.
Yeah.
For that one.
But we were, you
these
know,
guards are insane.
We were watching a little bit that first round, Tom and I were, and we were personally rooting for them to draft Will Hernandez just for
the effect.
For
just for
name
the jersey.
Purposes. Would you have bought did you think about this? Would you have bought a Will Hernandez jersey?
I probably really wouldn't, but just it's fun to think about.
Because there's not, I wonder if they've had a Hernandez before. I don't think they've had a Flanagan.
Yeah. No, I don't think they. I don't think they've had either.
What the hell?
I know. Yeah, so I don't know. I'd consider. I'm sure somebody would.
Would you have gotten?
Would anyone in your family
it.
Have bought everyone one for Christmas or
yeah,
something like that?
I feel like
your uncle
like
Tim
would
have like worn one and then used it as an excuse to talk about his high school football days. He would have been.
He
like,
was awesome at high school.
He
football.
Would have been demonstrating like proper run blocking technique at Thanksgiving dinner, just like tossing various aunts out of the way.
Get down in your stance.
Just created Tim. You're creating a scene.
So for what it's worth, the NFL Network gave the Vikings draft an A-.
Well, that's
just. That's just great.
So
I will say too, the last time I really got invested in them drafting a player for name purposes, I wanted them to draft Sylvester Williams so they could reform the half ton of unrelated.
I was a big fan. And, I was a big proponent of a
Sylvester
ton
Williams
of
didn't end up being
online.
That great of a player, so maybe Will Hernandez also will not be that great. But
what's the closest thing they have to? Do they have two players that have the same last name?
Well, they lost Tom Johnson left last year, but last year they had a half ton of unrelated Johnsons. So
there you go.
That was comedy purpose on multiple levels. Tom and Jaleel Johnson. But unfortunately, Tom has taken his Johnson
split
to Seattle.
Split the Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson.
Yes, that is why
the family offensive line
references to
a family
American companies. That is why I was amused by the Johnson reference. Vince is classic on the podcast. This is what happens when you travel out of state.
I think there is something to be said though that we were that interested in the draft. I mean, if the team sucked, we wouldn't have really cared, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know.
Well, it is always the weird thing because when your team sucks, then you have the top five pick, and then you get super. Well, hey, we're going to get this great.
Right, but it's not like we get Baker Mayfield, and now we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd rather be in this position. But when you're good, when your team was good, the draft is just less exciting.
Yeah.
You're not taking the top players.
True.
But, I mean, I guess, you know, we could just. Again, it's. I feel like it's always sort of a pointless exercise to try to predict the NFL because it changes so much and it's injury dependent. We do it anyways. It's probably especially useless to try to do it in May, but
it's
kind of
fun.
You know, they're through the off season. I guess everybody's kind of made their moves. You look around, the NFC looks like it's going to have some pretty good teams. Obviously, Green Bay should be better with Rodgers back. I think, you know, Chicago's maybe not ready to be a playoff team yet, but they made a lot of moves. Theoretically, should be better. I mean, you guys still feeling pretty good about where the Vikings are at going into next year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. I honestly, even looking beyond, and now talk about fruitless exercise, going beyond next season is super ridiculous. But, like, unless if something drastically changed or, you know, there was a bad injury or something, like, should this team be a contender for several years?
Yeah, I think they have. It's the first time I remember them having like an actual like sustainable core, I think. Like, and what may, you know, this coming year will be fun because, you know, we'll get Kirk Cousins and then Dalvin Cook, and they'll still have Thielen they'll have Thielen for a while, but they'll still have Diggs for sure. And
I don't know.
Yeah, I just feel like it. I feel good about the next couple of years.
And I don't know if people around the country would scoff at this, but Cousins, Cook, Diggs, Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, those are some great players.
That is kind of the quiet thing that's happened to them over the last couple of years is like, we still, it's Zimmer, and they kind of came up with this great defense. We were focused on that for the last couple of years. I think we still think of them as that type of team. They've quietly built like a pretty dynamic offense. And
absolutely.
To the point where I'd almost, like, I think, I guess there's maybe not a lot of depth if like Diggs or Thielen got hurt, but I think you look at Diggs, Thielen, and Rudolph, like the pass catchers is maybe the strongest position group on the entire team at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting how they've kind of rebuilt that up. I, you know, again, probably have a better sense of this closer to the season, but like, you know, it is. Since they had such a good year last year, you know, is this like a situation where they have to make the Super Bowl for you to think this season's going to be a success, or like what needs to happen?
Well, it sounds weird because you always want a team to win the Super Bowl, but it's sort of like, yes, I want that out of this team. It's because it's like it seems possible.
But like if they go, let's just say they get, you know, they don't have quite as much luck as they did last year. Other teams are better. They go 11-5 and they lose in the second round. Like, are you going to be disappointed in that season?
Well,
I guess you'd have to see how the season plays out.
And
I mean
that would be a bummer, just because I think that at the beginning of the season they project that they could be a Super Bowl team, and so I don't think they're going to win 13 games. But it's sort of like how we've talked about with the NHL and the NBA playoffs, where with them, it's almost just like, almost just get into the playoffs, and then the home field is a big deal in the NFL too. But like, I just if they make the playoffs, I'm going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess what I'm kind of excited about is just because some of those other NFC teams have been real aggressive. Like, you know, the Vikings figure they should be back, and I'm sure a couple of these teams aren't going to end up being as good as we think. But like, the Eagles brought basically everyone back.
Yeah.
The Rams made a bunch of moves. We talked about Green Bay gets Rodgers. They should be better. San Francisco is a team that looks like they're on the rise. The Vikings are going to be playing all of those teams. They're going to play New Orleans again.
Correct.
You know, the Saints look like they'll be pretty good. So, you know, it could end up being they lose a lot of those games, and then that won't end up being fun. But, like, not only is there excitement about the Vikings, there's kind of, like, there's little rivalries they're building,
yes,
building up. Like, people are going to be really invested in them trying to get back at the Eagles this year after last season.
So,
like playing the Saints again after, you know,
oh my
Sean
God,
Payton nonsense.
Those,
the Packers are,
yes,
always intense. So,
those,
you know,
like the Saints and the Eagles games are going to be, they're going to feel like playoff games, which is really, and then the Packers always do. But that's what's so awesome about that team last year, and now being able to look back on the season, it's like, now I'm just so jacked for that Eagles game, like already.
Mm-hmm.
It's really awesome.
It'll be fun if the Bears were better, too. I feel like the Vikings and Bears have never been good at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it always sort of alternates. And it is weird that there's, like, really no good Minnesota-Chicago rivalry. I get that, you know, Chicago's the bigger city, and, like, they kind of, the Wild Blackhawks kind of tried to make it a thing, but the Wild never won, so it was never really a rivalry.
The Twins and Sox was decent for a while.
For a little bit, but really what you're saying is true kind of across the board.
That's what I'm saying.
It feels like
there should be stronger rivalries between Minnesota and Chicago. So I would just like if the Vikings and Bears became more of a thing.
That would be more fun. And I don't know. Honestly, maybe it's just because it's like the Bears have been bad for such a long time, or for a little bit of time, that it's like I look forward to those games because it's almost like you go into it like, well, this is going to be an easy win. I don't think I get more... The most boring games of the season are those Lion games. I just can't get excited about watching the Detroit Lions.
That's never really happened. And Detroit has never been, like, a real natural rival for Minnesota. But
yeah, it just feels... Detroit and, like, Cleveland or something, that's, like, a good rivalry. But, like, it's just too far away for us to really, like, care.
Yeah, like, you don't... You know, there's obviously, you come across people from Wisconsin, people from Chicago. I don't, like, meet a lot of people around here. It's like, oh, I'm from Detroit.
I was in the airport once. That was it.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Geographic discussion.
Geographics. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I gave my input. What do you guys, what do you think? What do you want out of this season? What the hell do you want?
The hell? Yeah, I'd be... It's really hard for me to get a feel for where they're gonna, you know, I think they'll be, like, for sure in the playoffs this season, but, like, it's just, like, a matter of how much better have the other teams gotten in the off season, because they, you know, on one hand, they should be better than they were last year. But then, on the other hand, they got so much luck last year too. So it's kind of, I'd love for them to be in position to compete for home field.
Yeah.
Throughout, and if they, I think the season would be, I'd be disappointed if they weren't one of the top, you know, I'd be disappointed if they were, like, a wild card team this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, predicting 13-3 is always tough. I think they're certainly in a better position to sustain this than they were, like, the Brett Favre year, the last time they went to the NFC Championship game, and then next year was the year from hell. And that was, you know, that was kind of the worst luck you can possibly have in a football season, too. But you know, I think that Brett Favre thing was always a short-term solution.
Yep.
It does feel like they've built this a little more for the long term. I guess, yeah, I've just kind of with the nature of football and the injuries and so few games, I've tried to get away from like really investing myself in expectations for it because it is just so hard to predict. But I guess I'm rooting for things where there just won't be a lot of like annoying storylines. Like, I really don't want Kirk Cousins to just struggle the first couple games and then have to hear people complain about that signing for months.
Yeah, but yeah, that's going, like, we need to prepare ourselves.
Yeah.
Because that's going to happen.
But I mean, that
everybody loved Case Keenum.
That's the one thing, I guess, you know, I would rather not see happen. I think, you know, maybe just my under-the-radar concern a little bit would just be if you start to get some attrition with the defense. It happened a little bit last year where, like, their defensive line, Everson Griffin, was banged up. He's getting a little older. Their pass rush kind of disappeared the last few games and into the playoffs. And you do just, you know, those guys have been in the NFL for a few years now. Some defenders don't necessarily have the longest career paths, at least when they're at their peak. And I'd just be worried whether it's injuries or just a slight drop-off in athleticism, if maybe that sneaks up on them a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully they can get another year or two out of that and continue to rebuild it with players like Hughes and things like that if they pan out. But, no, I mean, I anticipate them being a playoff team, and that's really all you can hope for. And then, you know, just see how the matchups shake out once you get there.
I do almost wonder if it's like, because like we were saying earlier, I hadn't thought about it for a while, like all the other good teams in the NFL. I wonder if almost it's like if once you're one of those good teams, if you're all of a sudden like, oh, wow, well, there are a lot of other good teams out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just feel so conditioned to not expect to win that it's almost like now having a good team just feels kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know what to do.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, it's very a very strange position to be in where you don't, like, to actually have expectations of the team. Because really the last, like, 3 years we haven't had that high. Like, I mean, of course, last year ended up being this, like, ridiculous breakout year. But none of us saw that coming.
No.
And then the year before, I think the year before we thought they were going to be a lot better, and then just the injuries happened.
Yeah.
So then, yeah. So
yeah, because we were, back when they were, I feel like when they were at TCF, we were kind of in that, like, this team has some potential.
Yeah.
It's weird because the team is so much different than it was then, but somehow they've still, fulfilled that
for
potential.
For a team that's been pretty consistently successful, there's been a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
I guess the defense has stayed the same, but, I mean, they've had, like, four or five different quarterbacks in this run. The running backs have changed over. Obviously, Thielen coming into his own was unexpected. But, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of changes. I think from a storyline perspective, you know, as kind of the previews and the gear up for the season happens, they could get lost in the shuffle a little bit just because, like, Philadelphia actually won. So people are going to talk more about them.
Yep.
You know, the Rams made a lot of moves, so that makes them interesting. The Packers have a player like Rodgers that's, you know, a bigger star than anyone the Vikings have. San Francisco is kind of that, you know, team on the rise thing. So I could see them getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly don't see any reason why they can't be in the mix with that whole group.
Yeah, I don't either. It's interesting, the Eagles will be I just think that they have, like, a really good shot of having, like, kind of a dynasty. And so that's the one thing I worry a little bit about is, like, would there be
is this their time?
Yeah, are they going to just be, like, that team that nobody can really beat, no matter? And that's, like, a high-quality problem to have, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, they're going to have a weird quarterback thing with, like, whenever Wentz can come back, and obviously fans are going to have some loyalty to Foles, and so, you know, see how they handle that, navigate that whole thing, but yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it more when we, I guess, you know, next time we do a show, we'll probably be about ready for football.
Probably at about the rate.
We'll be able to do a preview. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, probably don't, unless you guys have anything else, probably not a whole lot else to say.
Can I throw a transition at you?
Sure.
Talking about the Vikings being in the playoff mix, you want to know who else was in the playoff mix?
The Wild.
They were.
They were. So here goes our half-hour season in review for the Wild. No, the team that we all went and saw in a playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
They did play in a playoff game. And
the Minnesota Loons.
And and it was exciting.
That was a fun... Yeah, I mean, they got, we saw that. That was game three, right?
Game four.
Game four.
Timberwolves and the Rockets, yeah. No, I mean, we can talk a little bit about the Wolves, too. And I guess there's some big picture things to talk about there as well. As you said, you know, they did end up making the playoffs. I think the last time we did this, it was kind of Butler was out. It was a little bit, could they hang on to their spot? And, yeah, it's a weird times around the Wolves right now where, yeah, on the one hand, they've had that on-court improvement. I think there's some worries about sustainability, how long people are going to keep it together. But there's a lot of frustration within the fan base. I think frustration for, you know, towards Thibodeau, kind of the way players were utilized. I think maybe a little bit of a lack of understanding of how the Western Conference was set up, where there's a lot of anger that, like, they fell down to the 8th seed and lost in the first round when they were really only, like, 2 games out of being the 3 seed.
Yeah.
So that might skew it a little bit, too. But, yeah, it's, you know, for a team, and I think some of it's legitimate. I certainly have, you know, some questions about Thibodeau, too. But, yeah, for a team that improved as much as they did, ended a playoff drought, it doesn't seem like people are real happy about things right now.
This is not how I expected everyone to be behaving after they made the playoffs the first time in 15
years. Yeah,
what's
interesting is
14
like,
years, 2004.
What's interesting is you think the people that would be the happiest about them making the playoffs, you know, the people that watch them on a regular basis are actually the ones who are the most pissed. And like,
yeah.
Everybody else is like, oh, that hasn't been paying attention. They're like, oh, yeah, the
well,
Wolves.
They made it.
Yeah, they got good all of a sudden.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, they got, we have Jimmy Butler now, what? Like, that's kind of like the reaction I've gotten from, you know,
mm-hmm.
people who have just, like, long left the Wolves bandwagon. And then you talk to somebody who's just, like, who is, like us, has been pretty invested throughout this pretty miserable period. And we're, you know, for some reason upset that it didn't go.
Yeah.
The one time something good happened, it wasn't
bad. I've been
thinking
about this a little bit. And, again, we can get into some of the issues with the team and why there's frustration.
And we can do it again at a later date.
Yeah.
When we have, you know.
But, you know, I think what happened here, and I've fallen into this too, is like we all just sort of assumed that like what the 76ers did this year, you know, what the Celtics are doing now, that was going to be the Wolves. And, we thought basically, I think we talked about this a little bit last time, that Towns, Wiggins, and LaVine were like the next Durant, Westbrook, James Harden.
Yeah.
And that became a national narrative too. Like, that just was probably always kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I was thinking back to it, really, I think all of this happened because they had that one game, Towns' rookie year, where they beat the Warriors. And that was on TNT, and they came back in the second half, and that was the year the Warriors won 73 games.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a really fun game. Shabazz Muhammad also scored 35 points in that game, so it probably wasn't the best indicator of their long-term success. But they won that game, and they got a lot of national attention off of doing that, and they had the back-to-back number one picks. And they won a few other, you know, had a couple other nice wins the end of that Sam Mitchell year. But I think that's just... That stretch has thrown off everybody's expectations. And, you know, I'd like to see them do more than they have. And obviously, you know, we found out with the Wild, if they're only going to be a first, second round playoff team, that gets old after a while. But I think what we all might just have to come to terms with as Wolves fans is, like, Towns and Wiggins just probably aren't those, like, transcendent, transformative players we thought they were. They're very good. Towns is probably a perennial all-star. I think Wiggins can still develop more than he has. But, like, they're probably not, you know, necessarily Kevin Garnett.
No. And we saw that with Butler's injury.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting is, like, I was watching, I've actually watched probably more playoffs this year than I've ever watched before. And so, and just watching some of, like, you know, the Greek Freak and, you know, Anthony Davis and, like, some of these guys who are probably a little bit more, you know, more like, you know, Garnett or LeBron level when it comes to, like, the athleticism. And like, those are the guys that are really going to be, like, the they just have, like, an extra gear that, like, Towns does not have.
I think
Towns is more like a Kevin, like, he's more like a Kevin Love type, where he's, like, a double-double machine, great offensive player, you know, He certainly has more ability to be a better defender than Love was, but that's really probably more the, he's more of an offensive minded center. He's not one of these guys that can just do it all. Like,
I think there's been, you know, some frustration about how he's been utilized, and certainly, you know, there's, I don't think there should ever be situations where he only takes 6-7 shots, and that happens quite a bit. And I think you can look at the function of their, you know, the way their offense forms. But I think, yeah, I'm not even saying I'm necessarily a Thibodeau apologist, because I think he definitely, he gets overly stubborn. I don't think he manages a locker room very well. He's not, he doesn't make himself easy to root for. But I do think there is a little bit of, like, everyone kind of realizes Towns and Wiggins aren't maybe as good as we thought they were going to be, but that's not fun to admit.
No.
So then that all gets pushed on Thibodeau and he's screwing them up. I do think there's a certain amount of that going on. I think, you know, I'm not advocating, like, blow up this core or anything, because I, you know, I think they can have some success. I do enjoy watching Towns pretty much on a regular basis. I think, though, like, you do, when you're seeing the players that are really jumping up and being successful, it's guys that can play on the perimeter more and create for themselves. Like, I just, you're seeing some of these other teams, even with Giannis or, like, Anthony Davis, like, Milwaukee and New Orleans have struggled to build teams around them. You're seeing, like, Denver with Jokic, it hasn't totally panned out, even though he's really good. Porzingis got hurt, but the Knicks haven't really been able to, like, build a great foundation around him. Wolves have had their struggles with Towns. I don't know, like, if you can necessarily build a great team around a player that can't create his own shot.
Yeah.
Like, if he's your best offensive player, but he needs someone else to get him a shot, like, that's really tough. Maybe, you know, if they would have hung on to Rubio, and then you have a point guard that just spoon feeds him, and maybe they should have done that, and that might have helped.
Yeah.
But, like, he doesn't create his own shot, and he's not, like, an absolutely elite defender. So, it just, like, I think you can be good if he's your best player, but yeah, there's probably a ceiling on just how far they can go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's, the Rubio thing is frustrating, because he clearly like wasn't where he needed to be as an offensive player in terms of being able to, like, make his shot and in pick and roll games, but, like, but he still the offense just moved so much better. It just was more fun
to watch. Well, it was more pleasing to watch anyways. I mean, again, their offense was very successful this
year.
Yeah,
it was great.
I think it is, and, you know, I guess it comes down to, you probably should just root for them to win more than you should necessarily root for Towns to score 30 points or whatever. But it's, I think, you know, that's probably the thing with Thibodeau, is just personality-wise, it didn't work with Rubio, and he doesn't seem to have much flexibility with that. But it does, it almost just feels like with the way the team is structured, Teague might be a better player than Rubio, but Rubio might be a little better, would have been a little bit better of a fit with the talent they had. But yeah, we don't necessarily need to relitigate that. I mean, I guess maybe the other topic going forward, probably the one thing, there's not a lot of moves they can make, not a ton of flexibility, but are you on board with this whole they should try to trade Andrew Wiggins thing?
What cost?
Yeah, like, well, talk a little bit about, like, what's, like, what would be the theoretical market?
I don't think there is much of a market. It's been a big talking point.
This is my favorite part of the social media comments for the Timberwolves, is how much Andrew Wiggins sucks, trade him for Kawhi Leonard.
Well, yeah. I think there's a lot of trade Andrew Wiggins, but not, like, specifics on what you're trading him for.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, the ones that have cropped up, the Kawhi Leonard thing is ridiculous. And I honestly, I'm of the opinion, I don't even think that would be a good move for the Timberwolves. It wouldn't be a good move for San Antonio. But, like, you don't go all, unless, like, you knew he was going to sign here long term, which he wouldn't give you that assurance. Like, you don't go all in for next year on a guy that played 9 games the previous season.
No.
It's like, no. No guarantee to stay healthy. So I don't think that would be smart for either team. You know, the other one that's probably going to come up now is some combination with Toronto, that maybe the Raptors would want to get him back in his hometown. You could get DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry, somebody like that. The Raptors look like they're trying to shake things up a little bit.
You could get DeRozan for Andrew Wiggins?
Probably could. And, you know, DeRozan is signed for fewer years, so it would maybe give him a little more flexibility. I don't know how much better you get with DeMar DeRozan. He is a better player now, but it's a lot of the same fit issues that Wiggins has with Butler, where, like, he's not a knockdown shooter. Him and Butler kind of do the same things. Basically, DeRozan is like, and I've felt this way for a couple of years, like, in Andrew Wiggins' best scenario, he becomes DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
So, like, you're, I guess, hitting fast forward on Andrew Wiggins if you make that trade, but, like, I don't know that, like, roster fit-wise, if you're going to keep Butler around long-term,
and
if
would
that
they,
really helps
and
you.
Would they give up Lowry, or would that be...
They might. You know, again, Lowry signed for fewer years, so I guess it would be more flexibility. It would probably be, you know, Wiggins and Teague for Lowry trade or something like that.
And then Tyus stepping up?
Yeah, maybe. Or, you know, Tyus, I think, becomes a restricted free agent next year. I don't know how long they're going to keep Tyus around. But, yeah, I mean, those are different things that have been tossed around. I'm probably still higher on Wiggins than some. I just think you make a move like Wiggins for DeRozan or Wiggins for Kawhi, however realistic that is. That seems to me a decent amount of parallels of, like, Oklahoma City trading Victor Oladipo for Paul George. I'm not saying Wiggins necessarily takes that big of a leap forward, but I think we do, like, the problem with Wiggins is he's still such an inconsistent outside shooter, and, like, the Wolves' role for him this year required he made threes. But basically, you look, if you watched him play this year, he did improve his passing quite a bit.
Yeah.
His at least on-ball defense was better. His rebounding went up for the most part. It's just, like, people loved Wiggins in the games where he made threes, and they hated him in the games where he didn't make threes. So maybe he'll never become a great three-point shooter. But I still just think, like, he feels like a guy who could still break out in, like, year five or year six. And there's a lot of examples, probably more than people realize, of guys that do that. So
yeah, that's what's always interesting about the NBA is like, you know, whereas I think in the NFL, people kind of around their third year, you know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But NBA players, you know, their jump shot just continues to develop into their late 20s. And so, yeah, I think if he could get a little bit better of a shooter, he's got all the talent. And I think to your point, he did get a ton better. And he still frustrates me just a ton.
It's just on-court demeanor is frustrating because
he
doesn't look like he's putting in max effort, and that annoys people. And I get that, and I've been frustrated with him at times too. But, like,
I think I think there's something with the game flow too when he's out there that just drives me nuts. And I think it just has.
I don't think him and Butler is a great fit, personality and style of play wise. And so, yeah, if they are gonna commit to keeping Butler long term, which they probably won't know until after next year, and it depends on if he wants to stay here too. But if I know Butler's gonna be here for the next 5 years, then yeah, you probably try to move on from Wiggins. I honestly don't know. Butler was great this year. I had a lot of fun watching him. I don't know if I want five more years of Jimmy Butler at a really high salary with, you know, the injury history.
I don't know why. I just don't. Do you think he's going to stay here long term? I just feel like he's going to want to go somewhere else.
Possible. I mean, they, you know, if they throw a huge contract offer, and they can offer him more money than anybody else can, that always can be an equalizer. But
yeah, it depends on his mindset. I don't know. I just... Yeah,
I love the, like, the leadership and, I mean, appearance of leadership. I know
that's part of my issue with him, though. Like, he definitely knows how to give, like, the money quotes to the media and stuff, but, like, kind of look at it. Those last couple years he was in Chicago, the chemistry sucked on the Bulls. He didn't get along with young players. This year the chemistry wasn't great on the Timberwolves. Like, you know, I like watching him play. He's funny. He's a good follow on social media and everything. I just wonder if he's maybe not the most fun guy to have in a locker room.
Yeah.
It does seem like now he's the common denominator in a lot of bad chemistry situations.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not like a Jimmy Butler historian, but the impression I get from them is that he's the guy who's really quick to call someone out for, like, screwing something up. And if I was in that locker room, I'd be like, all right, Jimmy Butler, well, what have you really done? I mean, like, I feel like he's in that leadership role, but it's almost like is anyone, like, are you believing what he's telling
yeah.
you? I mean,
and it's just the timing of some of it. Like, he had those quotes right before game four, which was like after they won the previous game. And again, at that point, I didn't think they were going to win that series.
No.
But like, that was the one time there was some positivity in it. And he gave the quotes saying, you know, like, our young guys still have to learn to care, and you know, kind of negative toward what they've been doing. And yeah, at some point it does, you know, if you're in that locker room, it's kind of like, just shut up, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
it's just like, I think there's a time and a place for that. And that seems to be something that, it's one of those things that Minnesota fans seem to love for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Is, oh, that guy just called about, and, you know.
Well, and he
like,
gave a lot of quotes this year about, like, you know, coming back from his injury, and I'll do it because it's mind over matter, and I'm just tougher than anyone else, and I'm, you know, I'll will myself to play. And he did definitely play through some things, but, like, he also missed a lot of games. He
yeah,
also
yeah.
sat out most of the second half of that last game of the playoffs.
Yeah, he
so
wasn't
like,
even on the court. The
yeah,
last.
So like he didn't necessarily put mind over matter.
Yeah,
so, yeah. I, you know, again, he was a lot of fun to watch. He's one of the best players they've had in their franchise history. But I just, again, I don't know what the upside is long term with having him around. And then you know that gets into the question of how
yeah.
long is Thibodeau going to be here? And
I
think
mean,
that's an open question at this point too. But
yeah, it's just it's. I don't know. I just think if they're going to keep the same core, they have to get some, like, sharpshooters.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the biggest thing, is they need to add some shooting. They obviously need a little more wing defense. You know, Jamal Crawford has said he's going to opt out, which probably, you know, he was, I think, a good chemistry guy. But, yeah, I think that would probably run its course.
Which
not,
is that alarming at all, too? Because he, like...
He
was well liked in the locker
yeah,
room, so
I think,
it wasn't an issue with him.
I think it was a minutes thing. You know, there's been reporting that a lot of their bench guys were frustrated with how much they played, and I think Crawford,
understandably,
had an understanding when he came in that he was going to play more than he did. You know, you could argue Crawford's play maybe warranted the amount of minutes he got.
Yeah.
He definitely had a few good games, but
which,
I think
yeah.
he was a net negative on the court overall. Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, there's no way around it. It wasn't a great locker room, and I don't think it's maybe a great. There's been, you know, some reports on Twitter and stuff that have been ridiculous. Tom Thibodeau throwing computers through glass walls and things like that. That I think
super
I don't think
human
that,
Tom
yeah,
Thibodeau.
I don't. I think that's probably a little bit of a stretch, but I think, you know, you hear the reporting on it. It does sound like it's a weird environment around there. People aren't necessarily.
I think it's yeah. It's just I think it's just a business like. You know, all I care about is winning. Like, that's one thing that I really, you know, I really miss about Flip and
mm-hmm.
the way Flip led the organization was Flip had, like, he might not have always made the best moves from, like, a basketball perspective.
He knew how to sell it. And
yeah.
I don't, and Thibodeau, I don't think necessarily even cares about selling
yeah.
it. But yeah.
And I just have a, I don't know, like, I think there's just something. There's something to, like, knowing, having your finger on the pulse of your fan base, and just,
mm-hmm.
like, knowing, like, that matters, and it affects
yeah,
your...
I think there's definitely something to that. I think, you know, some people get worked up about him screaming and his antics on the sideline, and that doesn't bother me as much as some. I do think there's a certain element of, you know, Glenn Taylor's expressed disappointment with all this. I think, you know, Glenn Taylor, maybe you should have done your due diligence before you hired him then. Like, this is,
yeah.
he did all of this stuff in Chicago. Like, so I don't think he necessarily, like, lied to him. This is kind of who he is. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's spoken openly about how he admires Bill Belichick. He kind of follows that model, and that's a lot of the stuff Belichick does. But obviously, Belichick's won 5 Super Bowls.
Right.
And if that's going to be your personality, you have to win at a high level. No, it's, I mean, I think, yeah. They don't have a lot of avenues to add to the team. They'll have their mid-level exception, which you could hopefully get a decent shooter for that. I think they could offer like $9 million, you know, a year with that to somebody. So that's, you know, in this salary cap market, that's a decent amount of money to have. If they don't trade it, they'll have their first-round pick, and there's some interesting wing-type players available around where they're picking at pick 20 there. I guess the question then becomes, is Thibodeau going to play a rookie, which he doesn't typically do, but
the answer is no.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see how that goes. It does seem like, you know, for all, and again, it's weird given the step forward they took. But, you know, some of the comments Glenn Taylor has made, just the way this team is set up with the contracts and everything, it seems like there's one more year of this, and then we'll see how next year goes. And either he's going to make a couple moves to supplement this team, it'll come together, Butler stays healthy, they win 55 games, go to the second round or something, and everybody's happy, we go forward with this, or it's going to be about like this, and Thibodeau will be fired, Butler will probably be gone, and there'll be a reset, which, you know, then begs the question of, can Glenn Taylor successfully put together a reset? But, but yeah, you know, we'll see how it goes. But it does seem like, yeah, there's one more year guaranteed with this setup, and then how it definitely is a big offseason for them to determine where this team goes going forward.
And it's just so, I think it's kind of, I don't know why this doesn't bother me as much with the Vikings, but it is just sort of like they could put together a really good team and everything could go really smooth and the locker room could be great, and they're going to have to play the Rockets or the Warriors.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of...
And that's where I wonder, and we'll see how long the Warriors thing lasts, but, like, you know, people got mad at him for being, like, the 8 seed or whatever, but it's like, if they were the 3 seed, this would have just happened in the second round. And
which,
like,
it would have been fun to see them
It would have been fun to see them win a playoff series, but it's like, you know, everyone got excited about Utah for a while. Utah played Houston in the second round. It wasn't any more competitive than the Timberwolves were.
No.
And so... And I do wonder, you know, the NBA is in this huge surge in popularity right now. Ratings are up. There's definitely an increase in interest. If this lasts too much longer, you do wonder if the bubble bursts at some point. Like, essentially 25 of the markets, there's a pretty defined ceiling to what they can do.
Yeah, I think it's really, it's the long-term health of the NBA is, I think they're going to have a reckoning with this, because people are already sick of the Warriors, and it's only been 4 years.
And Tom and I have talked about this. Some of it depends on who you cover, and obviously, like, the Bill Simmons crew that we've talked about before is probably the extreme of this, but, like, everyone's so excited now to pump up Boston and Philly as, like, the future of the league that, like, I'm already a little sick of Boston and Philly, and they haven't even, like, come on the scene yet. So
yeah, and you just look at, like, the... I mean, like, basketball is such a fun sport to watch, and the NBA, I think the NBA is a really good product. You know,
it's very star driven though, and they do have a lot of really good players. I do wonder, like, how much they get propped up by LeBron, and there could be a test of that if the Cavs don't make the finals this year and see what the ratings are for a Warriors Celtics finals. But, like, you know, the NBA definitely dipped down quite a bit for a few years after Michael Jordan retired, and, like, that would be the interesting thing too. Whenever LeBron stops being, like, a transcendent star, you know, can they find that next person to
I mean I
like Kevin Durant, but, like, if he's the best player in the league,
it's not the
everyone
thing.
Is
yeah.
You know, I don't know,
yeah, it's just sort of like that narrative, you do kind of need that. Is he the greatest ever?
I mean,
nobody would think that.
Which
about,
can,
you know,
also, can we just say on the pod quick? Can we stop asking everybody who's the GOAT?
It's a fucking important conversation.
This is the most ridiculous thing. Like, let's stop.
It's been going on for years.
Hey, we're talking about the greatest player in the league. It's fucking important.
It's unnecessary.
No, I don't quite see the point in all of it. But
The big problem with the NBA, I think, the things that really hold it back is just the way the conference structure. I still just think it just would make so much more sense if they could realign it in a way that took advantage of some of the natural rivalries a little bit better, and then just the parity. I mean, it's hard. I think it's hard already in any basketball situation to
one or two players just increase your fortune so much, and there's only so many.
Because you look at, like,
around,
college,
but,
basketball
yeah.
too, it's the same way where it's really just like, what's cool, I guess the one thing that is cool about college is that you're not playing the way the tournament is structured, you're not playing to, you know, and it doesn't, like, average out, it's one game, and so that gets rid of a lot of the makes it a lot more random, but...
I'd love to keep going with this, but we are going to run out of battery life.
Oh my god. Well, we ended on a little bit of a downer note there, but...
So let's end on a positive. Sports betting will be legal in Minnesota in possibly 15 years, so we can all get excited
about
that.
That's the timetable?
I don't know. They're like one of the only states that says they might not approve it. So...
Yeah, we'll see how that
so
goes.
So we'll be driving to Wisconsin.
I think there's going to be betting stations at all of those games. So I don't know.
Or we'll do it online.
Vince is already lining up his bets. He'll travel to Colorado to place his bets. Yeah, we'll see when we talk to you again.
See you in 3 months.
All right.